Welcome to Couve.com. I'm David Medor. We have Tiffany Couch here with her fourth report regarding the CRC light rail tolling project. This report has to do with financing
costs.
We've been told that this is a $3.5 or $3.7 billion project.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cash price. We're not paying cash. So you'd like to be able to walk us through what looks like is going to be what we're going to pay in the way of tolls and what we're banking on when it comes to the financing costs for this project.
That's correct.
Okay, where do you want to start?
Well, I think we can just start from the beginning and remind everybody what the project is and what we're paying for here, at least what's being proposed to everybody.
Okay.
This, of course, is the CRC, or Columbia River.
So we've got a map here for it.
We've got a map, the Columbia River Crossing map. And they tell us what the project's going to be in terms of interchanges, a bridge, and light rail. And they also tell us how much each of these components of the bridge is going to cost. And according to the Columbia River Crossing, they're telling us...
You mean the bureaucracy?
They're telling us that it's going to be a $3.5 billion project before any cost overruns, mm-hmm. before any financing of the tolls, etc.
Okay, so if we had the cash sitting in the bank, that's how much it would cost, $3.5 billion. If there's no financing costs, there's no collection costs, we stay on budget,
we
get it done.
That's correct. So what we've done is we wanted to take a look at the funding plan and the cost plan for this project and say, well, are there any other costs related to this project that the public should know about above and beyond the $3.5 billion? And the CRC, the Columbia River Crossing Office, has given us those numbers.
Okay. Before we jump into the details, what's the overview? What's the bottom line? Can you summarize that up front? What's it going to cost?
I can. It's going to cost a little over $5 billion. So in addition to the $3.5 billion to build it, we're going to pay for $1.9 billion in addition for interest costs, operation and maintenance of the bridge, and insurance and tolling related costs for the next 30 years. So it is actually a $5.5 billion project, again, before cost overruns, and again, based on the numbers in the CRC environmental impact statement.
And before we ever get started, we're already 160% over budget.
That's correct.
And we're years behind budget. Before we even start, we still don't have plans.
That's correct.
So these are the same people that are going to manage billions of dollars from here.
That's a concern.
Okay.
And that was a concern of report number two, where we said, listen, we are over 167% over budget here. If we're over budget on environmental studies and a $50 million contract, what's going to happen when we have a $3.5 billion project?
Past performance is the best indicator of what we can expect for the future. Same people, same managers, same bureaucracy. How do we expect this going to go?
So I think it was important for us to walk through the final environmental impact statement and show people, show the community exactly what we're paying for.
Okay.
And what's important to understand, and this is just my summary, mm-hmm. but I've got a source number here that says, okay, in addition to the $3.5 billion,
uh-huh.
we're going to have to pay for interest on a loan. So just think, if you and I went and bought a house, and we bought a $100,000 house, well, our payments aren't based on that $100,000, right? That payment is based on the principal of that $100,000 plus the interest we pay to the bank,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes even what we call an escrow account where we put in our insurance and our property taxes. So we pay for all of those things in one monthly payment.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what the plan is for the
Columbia
River
Crossing.
Okay, so
this gives us this is the cost up front of what is foreseeable.
That's right. And this is according
to the life of the project.
To them.
So this only has to do with the extra costs, the financing costs from not paying cash up front, plus operation maintenance,
right.
and over time.
So what's important to understand is that the loan interest, the operation and maintenance costs of the bridge, things like putting stripes on the road, on the pavement, upgrade, painting the bridge in the future, those sorts of things get paid for out of this fund, paying for insurance and paying for the cost of the tolling.
And so you've got here, I see you've got a blank here, unknown basis. So that's a zero.
Right. Well, that's going to be some sort of cost, but it's variable based on, for example, when they collect a credit card off, if I give them my credit card to take the tolls out of my credit card, there's going to be fees related to that. Mm-hmm. And those costs are really unknown at this point, so according to them, because they don't know how many people are going to have a credit card and how many credit card fees they're going to have to pay, et cetera.
Okay. So I notice here you've got a tolling, a operation and maintenance cost. This is not operation and maintenance for light rail. We're paying that separately.
That's separate.
So this is $58 million to maintain...
For 30 years. So again, that's a 30-year cost. But that's correct.
In most projects, they don't cost $58 million to build a bridge in most places in the country. This is just for the maintenance part of an existing structure.
That's correct.
One thing I'm curious about, Tiffany, these costs, none of this comes with any kind of reference point. None of this comes with any kind of comparable.
That's correct.
It's just numbers that mean, they just stand alone. We have no idea whether this is 10 or 100 times what the normal expected amount would be for these numbers.
That's correct. So I've not benchmarked these numbers against another project in the state or another project in the United States. These clearly come from, and I can just put it right here, comes from, these are their numbers, and I'm just putting them all together instead of over several pages, putting it in one chart, saying here's what they're telling us.
So you got the detail that makes this up.
I do.
I would think that would be part of the due diligence process, that anytime you're going to take on a mega project like this, that you would get some perspective, you ensure that the costs are reasonable, and you would compare them to other things. Otherwise, it's like saying, I'm going to build a house and it's cost me $180 million, when really the cost maybe ought to be like $800,000.
Well, that's been frustrating for me, because I am a numbers person. I like to understand something before I walk into it, or before my clients walk into it, sort of a due diligence. What's this really going to cost? And it's been a little frustrating as legislators ask questions, as we look at documents, to say, can somebody just give me the number? Like, what's the number? And that's been my role here, is to try and figure out that, what's that number? And according to the CRC, that number is $1.9 million in 30-year financing and expense costs, plus $3.5 billion. So $1.9 billion plus $3.5 billion. Sorry, let's just put this map here.
Right.
$3.5 billion for the entire project. So that together says, over the next 30 years, we're going to have to come up with $5.5 billion.
Okay. If there be any action items that would come out of this whole thing, I would think that one of those basic items ought to be that before we launch into anything, we ensure that we're at least in the ballpark of what we can expect for a project of this size compared to other places in the country. And that's not happening yet.
And that's going to be part of my report, is can we just get some benchmarking? Can we compare this to other comparable projects in the United States?
Yeah, outside of our own Washington Department of Transportation.
Sure.
Because if it's statewide, a Department of Transportation is 10 times higher than anybody else, we can't check ourselves against that same
error. And I don't know if that's true or not.
But we don't know if it's not true.
That's true. That's correct.
So let's let the numbers speak for themselves, right?
So that's correct. So right now, all they've really told us is how they're going to pay for the $3.5 billion. And during the meeting last week, they explained that this $1.9 billion, the interest on the bonds, the operation and maintenance costs, and the tolling costs will be covered by tolls. So I think it's important to understand that $1.9 billion is going to be covered by tolls. All of those extras.
Almost $2 billion covered by tolls.
That's right. In addition to the $1.2 billion in capital costs that are going to be covered by tolls as well. And we can go through that funding plan now if you think that's important. So.
Okay, is that the overview?
Is that
that's
the summary? Sort of, that's the overview. I think this is a good overview, and then we've got a couple of clips where the CRC officials better explain some of the funding.
Okay.
But right now, the CRC does have a plan. They've all told us how they're going to, or how they plan to pay for the project. Each state, Oregon and Washington, is each going to put in $450 million for a total of $900 million. Right now, those funds are not committed. We also, we've talked about prior the $850 million in New Starts funding for the light rail piece. So if we look at the cost of the light rail, mm-hmm. and this green portion over the bridge and then through downtown Vancouver, mm-hmm. that's the piece that's going to pay for the light rail.
Okay. This is, I'm curious that here we have, we're expecting the state to come up with $900 million, right?
$450 each, Washington, Oregon.
Okay, and we just saw the Milwaukee light rail receive $650 million from the feds mm-hmm. Of our gas taxes, and they had to come up with, locally, a match, $650 million, all to build 4 miles of track.
Mm-hmm.
4 miles of mm-hmm. track. And that could have, how much would it cost to widen the I-5 freeway through the heart of Portland to actually solve the congestion problem?
I don't know.
I wouldn't.
It's certainly a question to ask. So we have $900 million from each state. They're banking on $850 million in a grant funding from the federal government.
Okay.
They are then banking on state-backed bonds of $500 million and a TIFIA loan of $500 million. So that's a little over $1 billion in loans that will all have to be paid for with tolls.
A TIFIA loan, and why do they call it a TIFIA loan?
It's a transportation infrastructure. It's an acronym.
Okay,
that the federal
government.
It's
one more way we can borrow money.
That's correct.
Long-term debt.
This is long-term debt. State-backed bonds or long-term debt. Both will be paid for by tolls. They are also banking on $400 million in federal discretionary funds, basically an earmark, basically a $400 million from the feds with no, it's a grant money. It's not money that has to be paid back. And then the rest, $200 million in tolls, $147 million has already been given by the states to pay for the environmental studies. And then a little bit more in tolling revenue. So this is their project costs. They're saying this is how we're going to pay for the $3.5 billion. But what's important to understand is that none of this money, and we've put it down here, all of these with an A, the money from the state, the money from the feds, and the federal discretionary, that's $2.1 billion. None of that money, zero, has been committed. So that's not guaranteed. And then the rest, $1.2 billion, they're banking on receiving in tolls.
Tiffany, I'm wondering how in the world did we ever get to where we are? It was only 30 years ago we built the 205 bridge for a total cost of $169.5 million. We paid cash for it, $169 million. And I look at these numbers, the first number here is $900 million. And plus $850 million, all of these numbers, you could build how many 205 bridges?
Several.
For any one of these line items?
Several. So I
that was only 30 years ago. We built the mm-hmm. whole thing start to finish. Mm-hmm. How in the world are we talking about hundreds of millions and billions of dollars for one bridge?
And what's interesting, and I think when we go to the clip, the first clip, we need to understand that it's sort of a house of cards. Because the funding of certain funds is reliant on other funds being committed from the states, for example. And I would like to go to that first clip from the CRC Oversight Committee from October 9th when they start explaining this New Starts fund of $850 million.
Okay, let's go ahead and roll that clip and see what it looks like.
Would you like me to cover this one? So this slide is describing the FTA New Starts funding program. The New Starts funding program is essentially the major fund source for funding large capital transit improvements in the country. And so that's why that's the program we're looking at for funding the light rail. CRC is seeking and is in position very well to compete for these funds from FTA. As you know, as many of you saw last week, CRC enjoys strong support from the USDOT and from the Federal Transit Administration. We're very grateful for that, and of course you had that meeting with Administrator Rogoff last week. We've already mentioned $850 million in the New Starts transit funding is what we are planning for. And just the one note that I'd make here is that FTA has made it very clear to us that the state equity contributions have to be committed before they will commit to the New Starts funding.
So what she's
okay.
So what she's explaining there is the $850 million. If we can go back to here, she's talking about the $850 million mm-hmm. New Starts funding. Which let me remind everybody, so we can stay on the same page.
New Starts is basically only light rail.
That's right. That's the green light rail cost.
That's what New Starts is.
So what she's explaining there is, the feds won't even consider our project. We won't be allowed to apply for that money until which time the states mm-hmm. promise their commit their $900 million. So this $850 million of quote-unquote free money is not going to be, we're not going to be considered for it until which time the states say, we're each giving you $450 million. That's really important. The other important item to note with regards to the $850 million mm-hmm. is this document right here. And if you can scroll out, that would be great. This okay. is an exhibit to the Columbia River Crossing Final Environmental Impact Statement. And what it shows us is that $850 million here, mm-hmm. it doesn't come to us all at once. So we literally have to apply for it every year at a maximum amount of $100 million a year for the 8.5 years. So
8 years in a row, we're expecting to get $100 million, batting 100%.
Batting 100%. So number one, we're not considered for the $850 million at all until the states commit their portion of the money. Number two, the $850 million has to be applied for every year at a total maximum amount of $100 million per year, and we are competing for those funds with all other projects around the United States of America, number one. And number two, we're banking on the fact that those funds will even be available 8 and 9 years into the future.
And I'm curious, if Washington State wants to commit $450 million for this project, the Department of Transportation already has two projects they're already committed to. The Alaska Viaduct.
That's correct.
And the SR 520.
That's correct.
Those are mega projects up north.
Mega.
Has the state already ponied up hundreds of million dollars of cash for those projects?
I can't speak to the specific numbers on the viaduct, but I can tell you on the 520 bridge, I believe the state has put some money in, but it's a little more than a $4 billion project, and currently, according to the Washington State Department of Transportation website, they're $2.2 billion underfunded on that. So meaning they've started construction, but they realize they have $2.2 billion in funding they still need to get.
And that's, my wife and I were up there about a week and a half ago, mm-hmm. and we drove across the 520 bridge, mm-hmm. We noticed that the tolls are posted quite high, the variable rate tolls.
It's variable.
And there's how much is it to during commute time?
Commute times, it's a little more than $5 per way, so it's a little more than $10 per day round trip.
Okay. And that is just simply replacing. We drove across it. It's a simple bridge. It's already existing. They just want to improve it mm-hmm. or make a new bridge in its place. And I'm thinking, Tiffany, how in the world can that bridge, which is much simpler than the 205 bridge, which costs us less than $170 million, end up costing not $450 million, but 10 times that, $4.5 billion to replace a bridge. It's a simple bridge. Has anybody done any comparables to see, are we inflating these numbers by a factor of 10 or 100?
Oh, no comparables have been done. But I would like to explain that, so right now, the $900 million is in jeopardy. According to the information that I have, two legislative sessions ago, they were hoping to get their $450 million match. It didn't happen. It did not also happen in last year's legislative sessions. So now they're hoping in 2013 that both the Washington and Oregon state legislatures will commit their $450 million. So right now, the $900 million is in jeopardy, and the $850 million is in jeopardy. But I would like to skip down here to the federal discretionary and listen to our next clip
okay.
so that we can understand a little bit more about that number.
Okay, we'll go ahead and play that clip.
Okay. Regarding federal funds, remember in the slide that we had presented earlier, we had assumed that approximately $400 million would come from federal discretionary funds. The story is not as rosy at the moment, but we still remain hopeful here. With the passage of MAP 21, significant changes in the federal aid highway program, most discretionary and programs were eliminated and there were no earmarks. So for the moment, we do not have a discretionary earmark for this project. However, we do know.
So what she's explaining there is when they put their funding plan together, there was a program, a federal program for federal discretionary dollars. And under this plan, it's the Projects of National Significance, where the CRC said, you know, this project is a bi-state project, it's an interstate highway project, it's a nationally significant project. We should be able to compete for $400 million in discretionary funds. Discretionary funds are basically funds from the general fund of the United States government, and it's basically an earmark where they hand the money to you and there are no strings attached. There's no requirement for a local match. There's no requirement to pay the money back. So she's explaining that the picture's not rosy because the program in which they thought they would receive those funds no longer exists.
I'm curious. So out of all the funds that we're expecting from the feds, maximum, we're expecting $850 million for light rail.
That's correct.
Okay, so that's not really counting for the bridge. It's just light rail. So we pull
that
out for a minute, because if it's really a highway project. So they're hoping to get $400 million, but that's been basically, the earmarks have gone away.
That's correct.
So has there been any other funds at all that are available or committed from the feds? I mean, this is a national significance project that's going to cost us 3.5 plus, what'd you say, 1.5 billion? So about $5 billion. And the feds don't have any money, but they might come up, we're hopeful, they said, that they might come up with less than 10% of that.
Yes. And she goes on to explain a little bit more about the $400 million.
Okay, so we can play the rest of that.
Do know that in MAP 21, projects of national and regional significance, a category of discretionary funds made available to large projects, was funded at approximately $500 million nationwide in federal fiscal year 13. However, this amount of funding was not continued in the second year of MAP 21. And also in the current federal extension that we are operating under, those funds have not been appropriated because the appropriation for the that discretionary program comes from the general fund of the U.S. budget. So in phasing the financing of this project, we will need to consider the receipt of discretionary funds to come at the end of this finance plan for how we implement.
So what she's saying is this discretionary fund is from the general fund of the United States government. She's saying that it was discontinued in fiscal year 2013 and is not expected to be continued in the future. They're not currently operating under a budget that has these discretionary funds available. And she basically says, we're hoping that by the end of the completion of the project, these funds will become available. And so we're hoping that by the end of the construction period, that the $400 million will come in.
At the end?
At the end, we
hope. At the end of the construction period, which is when?
7 to 8 years from now, or from the time they start construction.
If those funds come in at the end, that means if for the process to continue, we're having to spend that money up front. Where's that money coming from?
They have what they, it's fairly complicated, but they actually borrow money up front, short term, and then we'll pay it back with
funds. If they don't come through, then basically that money that at that point they've already borrowed and the project is already completed.
That's correct.
And then they go back and say, by the way, we built this project and we were hoping that you would come up and pay us back for it.
But they have a plan for that. So under their capital and operating finance plan, which is a 40-page document that they gave to the Federal Transportation, the FTA, what that plan says is if we don't have enough money for other elements of the project or we have cost overruns, we will just not do certain pieces of the project and spend that money on major pieces of the project, which are the bridge and the light rail.
So of course, the light rail is being right there.
That's correct.
They're not talking about cutting out light rail. Light rail is absolutely, they're pushing that top priority.
And the other piece of that is that they can increase tolls to pay for cost overruns or any funding that they don't receive from the feds. But I'd like to continue in her explanation of the $400 million because she goes on to explain how we compete with each other and with other projects in the United States.
Okay.
Because we're not anticipating that we will have large discretionary funds available to us at the beginning.
Senator Rivers and then Senator King.
So if we get these discretionary funds to the tune of, say, some $400 million, could our tolling be reduced to reflect that?
I think that at the moment it might be too early to make a determination if something can be reduced, because we still need to see what the outcome of that investment grade traffic and revenue study is.
Senator King.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So did I hear you correctly? I apologize, but that there were $500 million available? Is that what?
Yes, $500 million was authorized in MAP 21 in federal fiscal year 13.
And that's countrywide?
Yes, that's countrywide.
And so we're asking for $400. We would
seems fair.
Right. would certainly pursue this level of funding, and if the program were to grow at the national level, we would certainly pursue that as well.
But basically, we're hoping for $400 million of the $500 million or something to that effect.
So it's the finances of this project are based on wishful thinking.
Well, I think what's important is she's explaining that when this federal discretionary fund was available, remember it's not available right now, when it was available, there was $500 million available nationwide.
And that went away.
That went away. But let's back away from that.
Okay.
Let's go back to the $500 million available nationwide.
That was available.
We're asking for $400 million of that, four-fifths.
For one project.
For one project nationwide. What we are not showing here, because they go on for an extended period of time and everybody will fall asleep, is they explain, I think Senator Rivers asks, well, what about the 520 bridge? What about the Alaska Way Viaduct? Are those projects asking for the same money? Yes. So we're not only competing with ourselves for the same $500 million, but we're competing nationwide, mm-hmm. and we're asking for four-fifths of it. And so to even think that we would receive $400 million of the $500 million nationwide appears to be a bit of a stretch, number one. And number two, even though they know that this project is no longer in place, they're still banking on $400 million, again, in free or discretionary funds that are not available at this time, and there is no guarantee that they will be.
I'm curious, because these same individuals, Washington Department of Transportation, Paul and Hammond, is telling other oversight committees, hopefully they have oversight committees, I don't know if they do, that they're asking for money for those projects as well, because we don't have the money for those either. They're already building on those projects. They're already committed to those.
That's
they're already
correct.
Borrowing money on those.
That's correct.
They're always charging tolls for both of those, right?
That's correct.
And I would think that they would say, first of all, let's fund those first, because that's already in process.
Well, and that's certainly been the discussion some legislators have had, is we're already funding.
We're already
overextended. How are we going to pay for this as well? So I think it's interesting that of this $3.5 billion here, I mean, we truly have over $2 billion that's not guaranteed at all and currently is in true jeopardy.
I think of the truth that most tragedies and most accidents are foreseeable. Mm-hmm. You see that it's coming, something goes wrong, and then something you don't correct, and something else goes wrong. You don't correct, and something else goes wrong. We see this unfolding.
That's right.
And you're saying the funding is not available, but we hope, and we don't have the money.
It's not rosy. That was her terms.
And so their conclusion is, instead of saying, well, let's hold off on this, the conclusion is then full speed ahead. How rational is that?
Well, it's certainly questionable at this point. The second part of our report really talks about tolls. There's been, especially of late in the newspaper and in, you know, some of the local blogs, is this, what are truly the cost of the tolls? What are tolls going to be? And the CRC project has given us those numbers, and I'd really like to talk to you about those so that everybody, you know, can understand.
Yeah, everybody wants to know, basically, how does this affect me?
So I think the first thing we should show everybody is this debt schedule. This is not mine.
Whoa. That's a lot of fine print.
It's a lot of fine print, so just ignore it. I just want you to know that I did not make this schedule, but the CRC gave this to me, and they said this is our 30-year debt service schedule for the state-backed bonds. And what they did over here, just this first two columns, they said here's the fiscal year, and here's the net tolling revenue.
Can I zoom in on that a little bit there
you
so
can.
We can just see that first and read a little better?
Okay. Big numbers.
This is the year, and this is the dollars per year that will be pulling out of our economy.
That's what they're going to collect for tolls. So they don't give us a total, so we totaled that, and of course, I don't have that in front of me, excuse me.
So basically, it looks like we're averaging 80-some to 90-some to $100 million per year
in toll collection,
pulling money out of our local economy in order to service the debt and to pay for this light rail project.
So according, if you were to add up all of these large numbers,
and
you
it
would
looks like you could, if this was 30 years ago, we could build the 205 bridge every other year.
That's true.
Right?
If that's how
so
much the, that's right. Every other year,
yeah,
we could have
so
a new crossing.
Looks like what, about a dozen or 15, 20, 18, 205 bridges just for the tolls.
Mm-hmm.
That are paying for a project that doesn't really build a bridge.
That's correct.
Each year.
So what I, one of the big questions everybody's asking is, what is that, if we're going to collect $3.3 billion in tolls, which that is their plan, not $1.2 billion. Remember, $1.2 billion is just to help build the capital project. We
so
also have to pay.
That's about the cost of the whole project.
That's right. In tolls.
In tolls.
Because we have to collect for interest. We have to collect for operation and maintenance. We have to collect for the cost of toll. So we have to collect all of those things in the toll. And they're planning on a little more than $3 billion.
And after this is done, if we end up collecting this last one here, has the debt gone to zero?
Yes.
If they stay on target?
If they stay on target, the debt goes to zero in 30 years.
All right.
So what I did was I tried to figure out what's that economic burden on the people of Southwest Washington? And so what we did is we said, okay, CRC tells us that they're going to collect $3.3 billion in total revenue over the next 30 years. And so what I did is I made several assumptions. What percentage of trips would come from the people of Southwest Washington? And if that, for example, if 50% of the trips came from the people of Southwest Washington, then that means the people of Southwest Washington will be paying for $1.6 billion of the total $3.3 billion that they plan to collect.
Okay. And what's that third column, the fourth column?
That means every year for the next 30 years, $55 billion.
Okay, total amount for 30 years, and this is per year.
That's correct.
Okay.
So that's the 30-year economic value.
Okay.
This is the annual economic value. Now, what's interesting is if you look at their tolling and their traffic studies that they conducted back in 2005, they indicated that in the morning, 75% of all trips over the bridge came from the people of Southwest Washington. Trying to get to work. So if the people of Southwest Washington paid for 75% of the total $3.3 billion in toll collection, that's $2.5 billion out of our local economy, or $83 million a year. That's before we raise the taxes for CTRAN operation and maintenance. So it's a significant economic impact on the people of Southwest Washington. So I wanted to make that very clear.
Isn't that what one of the crucial goals of the FEIS final environmental impact statement is to evaluate the relative practical impact upon people, not just the environment, but people being part of that environment. What's it going to do to them economically?
Correct. I've not found anything that's as specific as that in terms of dollars and cents.
Okay.
So the last thing I'd like to talk about really is to really clear up this question about tolls. OK, okay? Because there's been a lot of everybody, you hear some people saying, well, the toll's only going to be a dollar or two, or maybe, you know, $2.50. And then you hear some people say, well, really, the toll's going to be $8. And I want to be very clear about where those numbers come from, how they're calculated, and so that everybody understands what the CRC is telling us in terms of what the tolls are going to be.
Okay.
So can we talk about that before we wrap
it
up?
Jump right in.
All right. So let me go to the CRC final environmental impact statement tells us that peak one-way tolls are going to be $2. Now, I think it's very interesting that this document was printed in September of 2011. And what I find interesting, and let me go to that toll rate schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the toll rate schedule scenario. This is the final environmental impact statement, and if anybody wanted to go to it, they could go to page 4-11. Okay?
Okay, down here. Yep.
And what they tell us is that tolls during the commute times of 6 to 9 a.m. are going to be about $2 one way. Okay, same thing in the afternoon, from 3 to 6, $2 one way. Now, what's interesting is you have to go to footnote A, and it's really small, so let me read
it. This little guy here, if I can zoom in on it a little bit here.
Toll rates are shown in 2006 dollars. Toll rates are assumed to escalate at 2.5% per year. Thus, for example, a $2 toll in 2006 dollars would be $2.21 in 2010 dollars.
So it's right. This is one-way
trip. One-way.
And then they do say, good to go pass, you've set up an account.
They do have another, they do say that they're assuming that this is a one-way toll and they plan to do it both ways.
No, that's what Tim Levitt is telling us. It's a couple bucks max.
But let's ask this question. This document is printed in September of 2011. Why did they use dollars from 2000, what the cost would be in 2006. It doesn't make any sense. So I had to do what they told me to do. And what they told me to do was add 2.5% per year for inflation to figure out what the toll is going to be.
Okay.
And they tell me that in 2010, a $2 toll is $2.21. Well, that's correct.
So you're starting with $2 each way.
In 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see when you add 2.5% per year, you do get to $2.21 in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to 2019, which is when they say the bridge will be finished and when they will start collecting tolls, that toll is $2.76 one way,
mm-hmm.
or $5.51 round trip. Okay?
Well, that's not so bad.
Not so bad. Plan B on the FEIS says, well, we could go upwards of, $3
mm-hmm.
one way during peak periods of time. So we have $3 in the morning, $3 in the afternoon. So we did the same thing. In 2006, here's a $3 toll. By 2019, that toll becomes $4.14 one way, or about $8.27, $8.28 round trip. That's not my number. That's not your number.
That is the
CRC number.
So we started with the most
number.
Optimistic, lowest cost is the first scenario. This the other scenarios, they gave us, what, four scenarios here?
Really three scenarios.
So this is the middle of the road. If things stay on target, we don't have to borrow any extra money, like a TIFIA loan or something like that, right? And this ends up being the $8.28 or 27 cents
round trip.
So these are the numbers that I've been talking about.
So
$4.14 each way.
So if a person goes to Oregon, that's a $1 per hour
pay cut.
Pay cut. Thank you. So what's important to understand is that the CRC has a third option, okay? And that third option is not in the final environmental impact statement, but it is in the capital and finance operating plan that they gave to the federal government in September 2011. So let's just zoom out on this so that we can show it.
All right.
So when they applied for that $850 million grant,
mm-hmm.
They, in September 2011, mm-hmm. they told the federal government how they're going to plan for this. And they have a tolling rate schedule, but they have wording on page 40. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to read that that wording. Tolling rates can be, Tolling rates can be adjusted within reasonable amounts if additional funding capacity is required. Tolling analysis found that gross toll revenues can be increased by raising toll rates up to almost $6 in 2006 year dollar cost each way, after which diversion impacts of higher rates exceed the added revenue.
Why are they still using 2006 numbers when this was applied for in 2011?
That's what I want to know, but they don't tell us.
And what is that $6 in 2011
rates? So we have that answer. So that's $6. Again, in 2006, becomes $8.27 one way in 2019 for a round trip of $16 per day, or a $2 an hour pay cut for somebody working in Oregon who's also giving 9% of their income in income tax, who's also likely going to pay to park, who's also likely being asked to pay for a C-Trans sales tax increase. So one of my questions to the legislators was, what's the tipping point? At what point does somebody who lives here in our community say, it's too much? Mm-hmm. I can't afford this. I don't want to deal with this. And they move out of the area or closer to their job in Oregon. Mm-hmm. It's certainly a concern. So these $8 one-way tolls, again, not my number, not your number.
It comes from the actual application that the CRC made to the Federal Transit Administration.
Page 40.
Okay.
So, and somebody might say, this is ridiculous, Tiffany. Nobody's going to charge $8 one way. But we need to understand two things that are happening right now. The Tacoma Narrows Bridge is currently at $5 one way, and their debt is only about $850 million total.
Only. It's all relative,
okay.
Right?
But if you think about it, we're looking to pay at over $1 billion in debt. So that incremental...
Proportional,
right? So right now, today, 2012, it's a $5 one-way cost on the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. Today, the SR-520 bridge is $5 one-way. A little more than $5 one-way, or $10 round trip per driver today.
That's
on the SR-520 for a car.
It goes up proportional per axle.
It does.
It's a 30-some dollars for a truck, a big five or six axle truck to go across there.
Right. So it's not unreasonable to think that our tolls will be as high as $5 one way. If they already are today, just think 7 years from now and inflation and costs, it's not unreasonable to think that they could be as high as $8 one way. And certainly we're seeing that already in projects in Washington State.
Okay.
So I think it's important to know.
You count the cost ahead of time. There's an old proverb that says basically if the man that is going to build a tower, if he doesn't count the cost ahead of time and then isn't able to finish, it becomes a disgrace to him. And we can be hopeful, but so is the man who decides he's going to build a tower. He can be very hopeful, but you can't finance something on hope.
And I think it's really important to understand. I mean, this is basically due diligence on a project, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And the people... whether they're legislators or local officials that are making decisions or voters making decisions or people who just want to understand what's happening in their community around them, it's really important to understand that the $3.5 billion, $3.3 billion of that cost is not committed, it is not received. Mm-hmm. It's important to understand that tolls could be much greater than the $2 or $3 that they're saying and will likely be in the $5 to $8 range. And it's important to understand that this $3.5 billion project is not just $3.5 billion, but we need to add the costs of maintaining the bridge and to pay for the financing of the bridge, which is an additional $1.5 to $2 billion.
And I look at this, and we're so used to talking about these billions and billions, these hundreds of millions of dollars. I still wonder how in the world did we ever get off this thing where it costs over. Even $200 million for a bridge like the 205. I wonder how we ever got there. So anyway, all of this being, they haven't given the people of this county the right to vote on this, or should I say, they haven't allowed us.
It's not an up or down vote on this, that's correct.
But we do have a trigger for this kind of project that says, you can bet that if we say yes, we want to go ahead and we're going to provide for at least some aspect of it. So go ahead and tax us. That the proponents are going to say, Clark County has endorsed light rail. They endorsed this project. They said so when we voted. Mm-hmm. You can bet they're going to cry from the housetop for that. So at the same time, they're telling us, no, this is really not a vote. This is just a tax. Don't connect that to any project. It's just a tax. Mm-hmm. And yet we're in the middle of an election here. I wonder how people are going to vote on this Proposition 1 CTRAN, which is the trigger for this whole thing.
It's certainly it will be a big trigger.
And there's still $2 million flowing out each month. Still, up to this point, we've still had zero bids on the contractors working on this thing.
That's correct.
So we keep giving them more money to do this for the same people to be able to do this and trust them with billions more.
That's correct.
If there be a call to action, I would think that people would participate. This is a very, very important question that at least the people that can still vote on this issue,
correct,
because many of them have been eliminated.
I think if you can vote, certainly voting, making an informed vote, whether or not whatever your position may be, as long as you're informed, I think that's important.
Sure.
I think the other piece of this is to ask your local officials, your state representatives, even, somebody like Jamie Herrera Butler, mm-hmm, call, mm-hmm, send an email, say, we want this further looked into. We believe these questions are important enough and are big enough that we need to have the answers to them before we start to spend $3.5 billion. And that's really all I'm saying here is these questions are large enough and our problems are irregular enough that we need somebody else looking into it.
Which is the bottom line of this whole process. You've put out, this is the fourth report.
That's correct.
That basically says, as a responsible citizen and as a certified fraud examiner and forensic accountant, it's my responsibility to share this with you so that you understand what's going on here. And you're not just sharing this with the public, you're sharing this with the decision makers, those that are charged with the responsibility to oversee, authorize, ensure that good stewardship happens, that nothing is rushing down a road where it looks like it leads to disaster.
That's
correct. You're basically saying, we've got some red flags here. This should be investigated because how much more could go wrong here?
That's right.
And so so far, you've sent this out, three reports so far.
Three reports.
To all the authorities you can imagine. You haven't heard from any of them?
I've heard from some. I've gotten a few phone calls from some, and there certainly are some things in the works, and I know that the election has things sort of in turmoil, and until everybody...
Wait till after that.
And I know until everybody figures out where everybody's going to be, certainly things will probably start to pick up again. So we can
It will be very interesting.
We can see from there.
Yeah, as the election will come and go, mm-hmm, and we'll look back, and we'll have hopefully some response.
Yep.
And it would be very interesting to follow up on that response to see, are we moving in? Is someone finally calling for an investigation? Is it really going to happen? Is somebody going to finally put the hold button and say, wait a minute, stop the cash flow before we go further? Let's at least find out where we're at and find out what makes sense here. Some accountability. Hopefully that will happen.
Correct.
So this is the fourth report on this.
That's right.
Hopefully it'll be a good report next time that says, hey, guess what? We got some good answers here. Responsible actions
are
being
taken. That'd
be a
great day.
Taxpayers are being protected. We're back on the right track so that we're working on sensible priorities where it's going to help people, not hurt people. I look forward to that program.
Me too.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Thank you. Yep. Appreciate it.